Welcome to the 181st episode of the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast, the weekly quizcast where two professional quizmasters talk about how to write and host great pub trivia, as well as quizzing each other and our guests on our favorite podcasts. Not only our favorite podcasts, sometimes we talk about that, but most of the time we're talking about our favorite questions of the week. I'm one half of your quiz hosting team, Quizmaster Lee, and as usual, I'm joined by fellow master of the quiz, Mark Davis.
What up?
You did it. Thank you.
How you doing? Yeah.
Oh.
181.
It sounds great.
We have a very special episode.
The meeting of the minds.
Not only is it our Christmas episode this week, but we are also joined by the one, the only, Jamie. Welcome back, Jamie.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas.
There's that jolly spirit.
Yeah, who's the jolliest motherfucker we can find?
That's how his though.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's up here in this biznatch.
Oh, no. Can we undo that?
Finna jingle your bells, mother... What?
I can't wait.
Word.
You've got a few questions that you brought with us. Oof. How you been lately?
I'm good, you know.
Coming down from that Nice Guys trivia victory? Nice Guys pizza.
I'll never
victory.
Come down from that victory.
Right on. You spent that money already, though, didn't you?
Oof. Six times over.
Right on. Well, yes, we're here for our Christmas episode. Mark... How have you been so far this holiday season?
Dude, I'll tell you, not working in the mall during the season rules ass. It's, man, I've been having to stress significantly less than I have in the last 12 years or so. When I was fully staffed and stuff, it was still a headache trying to staff the store from 5 in the morning until 11 at night, so... Oof. Resting on Easy Street comparatively.
Dude, I bet you just laughed all day Black Friday. Just,
you know, I mean, I still feel I have worked long enough in the food industry on every tier there is to work to not laugh at. I'm very happy that I don't have to worry about it anymore. I have a lot of appreciation for people that do. So, you know, it was definitely I still had to work. But it was a much more relaxed day. And I don't mind putting in the work, but not having to...
Be able to untuck your shirt a little bit.
Oh,
I don't know
if
you're working from home
ease
or not.
Back
but, you know,
a little bit.
Yeah, lean back. Sitting even is
you should see me when I work from home. Compression stockings with shoes, like an A T-shirt or A shirt.
Yep.
And boxers. And that's it.
That's all you need. That's all you need when you're working from home.
Fixing your online banking, baby.
I don't know about you, Lee, but my heart rate just went up.
Oh, yeah. Well, I recently wrapped up my first experience with Learned League. The 25-day rundle, as they call it, ended. I ranked 22 out of 26 at the end of it. I had a record.
Oh, Lee, that's great.
8 wins, 14 losses, and 3 ties. Now, I will say I accidentally missed 5 matches outright, so I didn't get any points for 5 days. Thanksgiving week, I just like was so overwhelmed with Thanksgiving stuff that I totally forgot. And then the last day, I was out of town and I couldn't log in, unfortunately. So apparently that's too many to miss. And they're like, you need to take at least a season off. You're welcome to reapply in the future. But there is a, there's like a little waiver, like, you know, like, please accept me back thing request that you can do. So I might try that out. But
there you go.
Really enjoyed it. It was insanely fun and hope to do again in the future.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear that.
Now, before we get to our Christmas quiz, though, how about we go over our weekly wrap up?
Okay.
On Wednesday, December 8th, we were back at Pointy Bell Brewing Company for quiz number 374. In third place, it was Charlie's Not So Angels, made up of team members of Hot Dot, 49 points. In second place, Bird Up with 58 points.
Bird Up.
Across the bird, everybody's heard that the bird is the word.
A bird Up.
And first time winner at Pointy Bell, Yolo Solo, playing under the team name JoJo's Mojo, a sound-alike name, 71 points. Congratulations to Christian. That is one member of Shiba Inu Illuminati playing on his own.
Dang.
Yeah. On Thursday, December 9th, we were at Ollie's Pub for quiz number 375. The Shiba Inu Illuminati coming in third place with 59 points. Just the Tips in second with 94 points. And M&M's Crunch. M&M's Crunch, it's a put-on. That would be your team, Mark. Getting the victory with 112 points that evening. A little bit of a wet boys Michael or minus Jamie that night. I don't
minus
know
Jamie with Seth.
Yep. Oh, is Seth not an official wet boy?
I mean, I'd say he's he is what Corey Wong is to Wolfpack. He's adjacent and often seen with, but does not. I mean, in my eyes, the four wet boys are me, Fletcher, Kristen, James Robert.
Drip, Michael. Drip, drip.
Okay, thanks for the clarification. Yeah, Seth, I mean, is the Corey Wong.
He is. I mean,
the unwet boy.
Always welcomed. Mm-hmm. We love Seth, but when we first came into prominence, he was playing alone as yep. Seth.
Mm-hmm. He was our major opponent.
The four of us true. Versus him.
That's true.
I will tell you though, our win on Thursday, Fletcher. Mm-hmm. Fletcher.
VIP.
Fletcher. He MVP. Was just snagging that fucking piece of paper every second.
Wow, I love to hear about Fletcher's successes.
A little jealousy, I hear. On Wednesday, December 15th, we were back at Pointy Bell Brewing Company for quiz number 376. In third place, the Hideaways with 80 points. Hot Dot in second place with 107 points. Team Yikes eking out the victory with 109 points. And thanks again to Dallas for hosting the quiz, as well as supporting the No-No. Be sure to follow his YouTube channel and podcast, We Do Stuff. And then on Thursday, December 16th, we were back at Ollie's Pub for quiz number 377. Just the Tips in third place with 70 points. The Shiba Inu Illuminati in second with 71 points. And marking their first victory ever at Ollie's, as well as turning things around, going from third place in second round all the way up to first for the end of the quiz. Wicked Bad Bitches and Hombres with 94 points.
When you say it like that, is there a reference point to why you say it that way?
Wicked Bad, yes, it's the wickedly talented okay, John Travolta yes. when he mispronounced the name of
yes
of Idina Menzel.
Yeah,
he I can't remember what
Adele
name.
Adele Dazeem.
Yeah,
Adele Dazeem, the wickedly talented Adele Dazeem.
They were playing that because yeah. I've told you before. I think about one of the guys from Hollywood Handbook will Travoltify people's names, and. I'm listening to.
This is what I was talking about in the intro when I said we were talking about our favorite podcast of the week.
Mm.
Yeah.
So yeah, he mentions they play it like a couple different times on Action Boys, and they like break it down like exactly where he started getting freaked out. And wickedly is yeah. where they think he like almost just stopped, like where he was like
he was oh, buying no. time.
Yeah, he says something else a little bit before where he's like. You know, you can tell things are kind of going south, and it goes, the wickedly talented.
Yep. Like, brace yourself for what I'm about to say, because I know it's not right.
It's you like, know it's not that's right. That's when the teleprompter went just enough. And yeah. It's like, wickedly was in the next line, and it went up, and he saw her name, and it was like, oh, fuck.
Yep. I think, done? Yeah, before that, and Wicked Bad, I mean, that is like a Boston thing, I think. Right, that was yes. the connotation, but... Yeah, the John Travolta thing, it's just erased that.
Have mind. You ever heard her talk about that? Like, no. At first, because she had to perform right after that. So she's like, I'm thinking this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me. Here I am, finally making it. I'm going to, like, sing on the Oscars. And one of the most famous people on Earth just messed up my name. And she's like, it totally had the opposite effect. It, yeah. like, was the greatest thing that happened in one of them in my career.
Damn.
And, like, now I am a household name because he screwed up my name.
Right.
Wild.
Well, congratulations to the wickedly talented Wicked Bad Bitches and Hombres. Mark, how did your teams do at Nice Guys Pizza this week?
Good. 2 weeks ago, I do not remember. So I'm sorry to those teams.
He be old, yo.
My apologies. I tend to not keep my scores around. I apologize. The first round of my trivia this past week, round one went to the team L2 with 16 points. The second round went to, where in the hell did they go? Here they are. Second round went to Comet Ping Pong's Sex Cauldron.
Whoa.
Yeah, with 36 points.
Interesting team name.
But then they left.
Hmm. Always sus.
Always sus. I said the same thing. They had
went
a perfect,
around and leave.
They had a perfect round in the second round, then they left. It's they almost finished like they're early. Just like, well, we know we're leaving, so it doesn't matter that we cheat.
Right.
It's very bizarre.
Yeah. No integrity.
That sucks.
No integrity.
But the winner of the last round, playing in the location, however, the Olive Complexion Garden, which was Elise and Christian and Max.
All right.
Not
playing under their regular Shiba Inu name. They're
They were
trying to hide out.
They were mixing it up a little bit with 20 points. So there was a very low scoring game.
Must have been a tough quiz.
You know me. You know how I do. On Zoom, however, where in the hell are my Zoom teams? Man, my shit's all fucked up today, huh? Wow. Here we are. On Zoom, we had, of course, Whiskey Tango winning the whole night, surprise, surprise, with 60 points.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congrats, Whiskey Tango. All right, if you missed it and you want to join us over the coming weeks, you have a few opportunities to do so. First of all, Wednesdays, we're at Pointy Bell Brewing Company in Fort Myers, Florida, for a no-nonsense trivia challenge based on your category requests. Come on out and win some free beer and suggest categories for next week's quiz. That's at Pointy Bell Brewing Company on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. On Thursdays, we're at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral for a weekly quiz that's based on your category request, also at 7:30 p.m. Hope you can join us. Prizes include gift cards, which can be spent on records, beer, or whatever else you can find for sale at Ollie's Pub in Cape Coral, Thursdays at 7:30. And of course, every week in Cape Coral, you can play Mark's Trivia on Wednesdays at Nice Guys Pizza or on Zoom, starting at 8 p.m. And please, don't forget to follow No Nonsense Trivia on social media, including Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Reddit, and join us on our Discord server to stay updated on all of our podcasts, streams, and events. Join us, won't you? It's kind of an old-style Christmas.
I wish I had a set of jingle
Simpsons bells.
All right.
By the way, I had a very good, long conversation yesterday with Justin Peterson.
Oh, yeah? Talk about the new Spider-Man?
Gave him a call to talk about the new Spider-Man. Ended up just kind of catching up. They might come down in February, so we have to see about having them on.
In the flesh. In the sarks, as it were.
Yeah, we also plan on drinking a bunch of Mai Tais and having a good time.
We'll have to go up to Nice Guys, get some of those.
Absolutely.
Let's take a little break, and then we'll come back with our first round of Christmas trivia with Jamie.
Ho, ho, ho!
Okay, we're back, and I have a Christmas traditions question to kick off our first round. The Christmas tree was popularized in the 19th century England under which queen? The Christmas tree was popularized in 19th century England under which queen?
I have no reasoning for this, but the first one that popped into my head was Victoria.
Queen Victoria.
Because, you know, the Victorian age was about embellishments and things, decorative things.
All right, that makes sense.
Right, do you feel me?
I do.
Right, cheers. Thanks a lot.
It's sort of weird when you said, do you feel me?
Do you feel me, bruh?
Right. Do you feel me?
Are you with me, bruh?
I love how many different kinds of British accents there are.
Dude, my favorite, and nobody does it enough, is the, like, North Country where they're like, yes, I'm a farmer. Cattle. Have the words, I say, you don't know what you say. And that's the women.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All creatures, great and small. So good.
Great. All creatures, great and small.
Right.
Great and small.
You all got tending to children's needs.
Oh, I got to learn how to do Scottish better.
Oh, I was trying to do some accent the other day, and one of my students is like, you sound like Merida.
What's Merida?
You know, from, I'll be fighting for my own hand.
From Brave.
Oh, okay.
The little redheaded Disney princess, which you wouldn't know because you hate Disney, you horrible human being.
I hate it.
You hate her.
I'm just old.
I'm sorry.
She's not a super freak about it.
Jeez, yeah.
You call me a super freak?
Yes.
Super freak? I'm super freaky?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
Victoria works.
I have no reasoning other than I just
We're
think of...
say Victoria.
That's correct.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
You don't have to have a reason, baby.
In fact, most Christmas traditions we have today stem from a Victorian revival of the holiday. Actually, there was a bit of a lull in Christmas celebrations until Victorian England.
Whoa.
And that's it's been pretty much an unbroken streak since then.
Big ups to Vicky for that, mate.
I tried to run the gamut of holiday...
Did you just say you tried to run? Because that sounds bad.
You know what I mean.
Okay. I mean, I'm not judging you because I couldn't run either.
Of several different kinds of holidays during this Christmas season.
Oh, my.
My first question is about Kwanzaa.
Oh, dear.
How many candles are used to celebrate Kwanzaa?
I believe it's seven.
Okay, I was going to say six, because I know there's like...
Well, there's a lighting candle and then three on each side.
Oh, very much like the shamash, the servant candle for the menorah.
That has four on each side.
They're right. But then nights. I did not know that Kwanzaa had a servant candle as well.
I believe so, yeah.
Because there's one that represents like... What is it? It's like the harvest, the... Damn it. I'll go with seven.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I can't break it down.
I was
either,
thinking but... six, and then if they have the lighting candle, then that mm-hmm. makes sense for it to be seven.
Yeah. Can we hear the question one more time just to verify?
Yeah, absolutely. How many candles are used to celebrate Kwanzaa?
I mean, I guess it could be, you know, do you count the seventh as a celebratory candle? It's a bit murky, but seven, I think, would be the common answer.
I'm going to go. I'll agree. I think yeah. seven.
Okay, seven.
Seven is correct.
All right. Woo!
Three red ones, three green ones, and one black one.
And is the black one the one in the middle?
It is.
Yes.
It is indeed.
Okay. All right, here we go. Ilex aquifolium is the scientific name for what symbol of the holiday season?
One more time.
Ilex aquifolium is the scientific name for what symbol of the holiday season?
Mistletoe?
Maybe. Could I get the spelling on Ilex, please?
Ilex is I-L-E-X. Mm-hmm. Would you like the second word?
Sure, why not?
Aquifolium. A-Q-U-I-F-O-L-I-U-M.
You know, it's funny because when I was thinking aqua, I was like, maybe it's snow.
Mm-hmm. Frozen water.
Mm-hmm.
Snowflake? Aquifolium? I mean, a flake, like full...
But it's A-Q-U-I. Like,
oh. Yeah, but still, that's... I don't know if
that takes it out of the...
I mean, it's pretty close. And folium, I mean, foliage, I'm thinking like leaves and stuff like that, so...
Of the what season? What is the end of it?
Is the scientific name for what symbol of the holiday season?
Mistletoe could be a symbol. A snowflake could be a symbol. I don't. That sounds a bit fancy for a snowman.
That's Ilex aquifolium, otherwise known from the Greek tum tum pods. Mark, wasn't that your drag name, Alex Aquifolium?
Yes.
Water leaf. I mean, snowflake to me, just like. Just
I think that's like good.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to say snowflake.
That is incorrect.
Oh, no.
Oh, man, we ruined our streak. It's actually holly.
Oh. Oh, bows of holly. Oh,
holly.
Bells. Not bowels.
Yes. Deck bowels. The halls with boughs of Ilex aquifolium.
Yeah. I guess we should have gone with a regular leaf instead of like a water leaf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Damn.
Okay.
Who knew?
My next question for y'all. Christmas songs.
Yes.
Christmas songs. What Christmas time song about having a carefree day in the snow was originally written in the 1930s as a poem by a young man named Richard Smith who was suffering from and ultimately succumbed to tuberculosis?
One more time.
What Christmas time song about having a carefree day in the snow was originally written in the 1930s as a poem by a young man named Richard Smith, who was suffering from and ultimately succumbed to tuberculosis.
Walking in a winter wonderland. Maybe that's why he was perspiring.
This motherfucker's gonna die of the lung.
Oof.
No, man. I always thought it was funny that they said when he says, "Are you married?" we'll say no man.
But you can do the job when you're in town. And it's like, what?
No, man.
No, man.
What a weird reaction to say to a
it does seem like actual something,
human being.
Somebody writing a poem would be like, snowman.
Yeah, I guess no, man.
No, man? Okay.
All right.
That was where my head went to first, was walking in a winter wonderland.
Me too. I mean, is there anything that's more like just talking about a
There's let it snow. Oh, the weather outside is frightful.
That's like specifically don't going, not going out. We're staying in. It's like
the, oh, that's
it's
true.
Like, it's like the G-rated baby. It's cold outside.
Yeah, yeah. The less
it's rape. Like, oh no, no,
the
no.
Less date rapey version.
Yeah, you don't want to go out.
Yeah. That. No, we put some popcorn. But
they're like, yeah, well, yeah, exactly. We'll stand by the fire. While the weed gets you higher.
Now I know it's not about, Jingle Bells.
What about in a Winterland.
It's not Frosty. It's not Rudolph.
Jingle Bells?
Jingle Bells was actually written for Thanksgiving originally.
Right. But he did say Christmas time. Well, I don't know if you consider that Christmas time.
I think
what fun it is to ride in a one horse
open sleigh. Or the fields we go.
Dashing all the way. Laughing all the way.
Bells and bobtails ring, making spirits bright. Oh, jingle bell.
Batman smells.
Robin laid an egg.
Batmobile lost its wheel.
And Joker got away. Hey! Classic.
I'm not sure if that's the one we're legally allowed to sing on a podcast or the one we're not legally allowed to sing.
We'll as long as we don't sing Happy Birthday, we won't get sued, right?
I think the time has passed for that, actually. I think a Happy Birthday is back in the public domain.
Oh, my God.
Can we hear the question one more time?
Absolutely. What Christmas time song about having a carefree day in the snow was originally written in the 1930s as a poem by a young man named Richard Smith, who was suffering from and ultimately succumbed to tuberculosis?
You know, I'm going to say that we want to go with Walking in a Winter Wonderland, and that's because I think Jingle Bells written as a poem
just doesn't.
Jingle Bells, Jingle Bells, Jingle All the Way.
All of the way.
Yeah. All right. We're going to say Walking in a Winter Wonderland.
That's correct.
Yes. Yes. Although yes. Now I have the overwhelming urge to perform Jingle Bells like beat poetry a la Mike Myers and So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Jingle Bells.
Jingle Bells.
Jingly Bells.
Jingled those bells.
Now, he does rhyme snowman with no man, but the one that stuck out to me was something about a bluebird, and then he rhymes it with new bird.
New bird.
And it's like, it's pretty close. I was going to ask your opinion as musician and lyricist, how you felt about using the same word
twice. You know, I've never thought about gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird.
It raises a lot of questions, doesn't
it? Well, was he British? Because, you know, they call women birds. Was he saying he's got a new bird? Like, hey,
something old, something new, hey, something baby. Borrowed, something blue.
She's a fit lots bird, she is.
You got bird knocks out two of them. as long as the penultimate word rhymes, that's fine. But that's definitely a stretch. Both snowman and no man and bluebird and new bird.
To use it twice and once. Oh, yeah. Poem.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Here's a little question about Christmas. In what year was National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation released?
Okay.
84?
Because they just had an anniversary, because it was a big deal this year, I think.
Well, then that would be 81, or that would imply 81, probably. Or 86, because usually the big anniversaries would be on the evens and fives.
Right, so 86 would be what, 35?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go with 86, because I know that, like, Today Show and those morning show types were talking about a big anniversary of the movie. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it was that long ago? Da-da-da-da-da.
Does 86 seem too late? Could it be 81? Is that too early?
No, because I remember watching it like as a kid when it was new, and I think that's about the time, like, okay. You know, I was like 7 or 8. Like, I would have a decent memory of it, I think.
All right.
I go with that.
I like it. 1986.
Sorry, that's incorrect. They were probably just celebrating it because it's the best Christmas movie of all time.
Well, it is
1980.
Good.
9.
Oh my wow. God.
1989. That is
later. So much later.
I know. I was surprised too. I was like, what?
It was still a long time ago, but it's like, wow, that's recent.
Yeah. Yeah. Just recent enough. And when you think of it in comparison to like how it looks with Home Alone, mm-hmm. It makes a little bit of sense, I guess. Like
yeah.
They both have a very similar look, like that 80s, like kind of dreamy looking, you know, kind of mm-hmm. very strange.
Idyllic.
Paleness to the color.
Kiss my ass, kiss your ass, kiss his ass. Happy Hanukkah.
A whole lot of ass kissing.
Very good times.
So my next question is also about that beloved film.
Ooh.
but about one of the performers.
Okay.
Mae Questel, the actress who hilariously played Aunt Bethany, who you remember as the aged woman in the family who wrapped her cat in her jello mold and instead of saying grace, said the Pledge of Allegiance in the movie National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. She was actually the voice of a very iconic cartoon character in her early career. What cartoon character was that?
I think it was Betty Boop.
I don't know why, but that was the first, I mean, character that popped in my mind, too. Maybe it's just thinking of famous fitting
time-wise. Mm-hmm. How many cartoons did you have when she was younger that were being voiced and famous? Mm-hmm. But I think I remember it being one of those things that I ran across, like, looking at, like, the trivia or something.
Oh, okay.
Boop, boop, boop.
I was gonna say,
voice is, like, Grace, like it's high, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so her being young, it would totally fit into that. Boop, boop,
bee-doop. Yeah. You sold me on it.
Yeah. We're going to see Betty Boop.
That is correct.
Yes.
Also, she was also the original voice of Olive Oil.
Oh, there you go. Damn. Okay. She had all them women on lock.
Well, the way that that's written then, could Olive Oil be an acceptable answer for?
I would have taken either one,
Okay. All right.
But she was Betty Boop first.
Okay.
We'll always know that's her as Betty Boop.
That's a breakthrough role.
Indeed. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Is that the first round?
That's it.
Holy damn.
Let's go ahead and take a little break. Mm. And then we'll come back with some miscorrections before we get into round two of our Christmas holiday trivia.
Ho, 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 ho.
Holy crap.
Okay, we're back, and it's time for some missed corrections. Got a few notes here. First up from Team Captain OG Aaron. OG Aaron had a great sus breaking down how to answer Mo's soccer ball question on our Discord. I won't spoil it here, but you got to get on the Discord if you're not there. So much great conversation happening. We do have a missed correction here from Kevin Hunt, a.k.a. Fade to One. He writes, miscorrection for Seth. He was thinking about the Constitutional Convention, not the Continental Congress, or at least he should have been. That in reference to my question about where the left-right political alignment that we know today came from originally, the French Revolution. Seth was guessing Continental Congress, but Constitutional Convention would be the more appropriate event. Dr. QMF with a miscorrection for the rate my question that we had that episode. And this is more of just getting Seth's sus on Roosevelt's life in order. The question itself is fine. But Dr. QMF writes, Teddy Roosevelt had his mother and wife die in the same house 11 hours apart. That's terrible that he had that happen.
Oof.
Yeah. No, I don't think that's what he meant by that. But his wife died 2 days after giving birth to his first daughter to a kidney disorder, and his mother died to typhoid fever. He then left several years after to be a cattle rancher in Montana. This was well before he was president. So he did a lot of his traveling in between, I guess, because it says here, after his presidency, he went on an expedition to Africa where they trapped or killed 11,400 animals, 1,000 being large animals. He then traveled from there to Europe before returning to run for president again. So just a few extra details there for Seth's sus in that, that question. And then we have an email here from Chris Mazaros. And Mark, this is in relation to your cereal question, actually. Mm. Bit of a detail here. Correction, last episode contestants were asked to put cereals into chronological order of development. Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran, Life, and Rice Krispies. 1928, Rice Krispies is correct. 1952, Frosted Flakes is correct. 1961, Life is correct. But 1942, Raisin Bran isn't wholly correct. Raisin Bran was first released in 1926 by a company named Skinner's. And you can still purchase the first cereal to add fruit to the grain. So Skinner's is still available to this day. Kellogg's and Post first began producing their variation in 1942. So to improve the question, you'd have to include a brand name. It would have to say Kellogg's Raisin Bran or Post Raisin Bran. I guess, rather than just Raisin Bran, since the original Raisin Bran is still being sold. It's made by Skinner's.
Is it called Raisin Bran?
It's called Raisin Bran. There's actually a picture here.
Well, I have to tell you, as an individual who played that question in actual trivia, I took the Kellogg's as being implied.
It is, but it's not accurate. I mean, Kellogg's is the most popular
Raisin Bran. Isn't it like Jeep or Band-Aid? Now, because of that, like, we just, Kellogg's Raisin Bran is the Raisin Bran.
But to this point, the original first ever Raisin Bran is still being sold.
Meh.
It matters. I think it is a semantic detail that actually does matter quite a bit, because in its current version, Raisin Bran, would, as far as development goes, comes before Rice Krispies. Hmm. So in that context, the brand name does matter. I'm not sure about these other ones. I'm guessing that Chris would probably know if there was another Frosted Flakes that came previously. But according to this, just needing a little adjustment there. And I don't think that's too big of a deal to say Kellogg's Raisin Bran.
No.
So those are miscorrections. Mark, did you have anything?
No, there was the one person who said that the water flowing backwards in Australia was not entirely true.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, I'm just joking.
Right. Jokes, which we are known to do sometimes on here. But I'm known for
being a silly goose. Lee is the serious one, and I am the just crazy one.
We appreciate the miscorrections all the same. Mm-hmm. So please, if you have any, or a rate my question, or a no-note, you can write to us at nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, or it's been a while, you can give us a call, 1-929-356-6966, or find us on social media. And please, if you have yet to do so, please take a moment to review our show on Apple, Podchaser, and Good Pods. This week of giving, if you wouldn't mind, we haven't had a new review this month at all yet.
Come on.
We'd love it.
Come on, damn it.
We would love it.
This is pretty interesting. The name Raisin Bran was at one time trademarked by Skinner. However, in 1944, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the English Circuit found the name Raisin Bran could not be appropriated as a trademark because, quote, a name which is merely descriptive of the ingredients, qualities, or characteristics of an article of trade cannot be appropriated as a trademark, and the exclusive use of it afforded legal protection.
Should have patented too.
That's very, very wild that they were just like, it's literally just Raisin and Bran.
Yeah.
How can you take that name? How can you appropriate that name? What if someone else makes something that also has raisins in it and happens to be Bran?
Yep.
Like, huh. That's interesting.
No one else can sell the brand pasteurized milk. That's ours.
All right, here's your next question. On what two boroughs of New York City would you find the largest Hanukkahs in the world? In what two boroughs would you find the largest Hanukkahs in the world?
Can you spell Hanukkah?
Hanukkahs.
Is that a Hanukkah menorah, do you think?
I've never heard it called that, but...
Me neither. I'm going to go with Brooklyn.
Okay.
Because Williamsburg is a historic home of the Jews in New York.
Word.
And Manhattan, because it is centrally located, and why not have the biggest version of a thing in
like, and the, yeah, center the eyes of the world city. Are upon
yeah.
it, you know?
Yeah. So those would be my guesses.
I don't have a clue. I just like saying Long Island.
Yeah.
I just like saying it.
I don't know if that's the answer, though. It could be.
No, but I don't know. I mean, I enjoy your reasoning there.
Okay.
I'll go with you.
All right. We're going to say Brooklyn and Manhattan.
That's correct.
Yes. All right. L'chaim.
32 and 36 Mazel feet tall. Lee. Though there is apparently a stipulation that the tallest Hanukkah can be only 32 feet. So the 36-foot one, which is actually the largest, is considered 32 feet, even though it stands 4 feet higher.
So here's my question.
Who makes that regulation?
Jews, I guess?
who's saying it can only be so high?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if it's in the Torah.
Also, why Hanukkah and not a menorah?
So a menorah has 7 candles. A Hanukkah has 9.
Oh.
So I wanted to make sure I made that distinction. At first, I saw that it was that the question was for menorahs, but it differs a little bit. So I wanted to make sure I had my information correct, so the people in Discord didn't rip me apart.
Jamie's looking at me like,
I'm going to help you out here because I think you're going to get a miscorrection. You're sure it's 7, not 8?
It's 3, 3, and 1 in the middle. Right? No?
No.
The menorah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Should have 9.
Yeah, so yeah. One of there's like a temple menorah and a Hanukkah menorah, and they saw it correctly called a Hanukkah for whatever reason.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
I've never heard that, but I also got the Maccabees question wrong last week, so I'm in no position to judge here.
Dude, did you know that Maccabees translated into English means
the hammer?
Sledgehammer?
The hammer, yeah.
Or extinguisher another form. Extinguisher. Ooh, awesome is that?
Yeah.
A menorah, which has only 7 candle holders, was the lamp used in the ancient holy temple in Jerusalem, now a symbol of Judaism and an emblem of Israel. A Hanukkah, however, has 9 candlesticks, one for each night of Hanukkah and an extra one to light the others.
A special menorah for Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Never heard it called that.
That's why we listen to this podcast, right? That's why we make it, and that's why we listen. You
leave here knowing something else.
Christmas treats. My next category for you.
I like a treat.
Emerging in America by way of Pennsylvania German immigrants. What holiday treat's popularity first arose in the early 1800s and was inspired by a well-known Grimm's fairy tale? Emerging in America by way of Pennsylvanian German immigrants, what holiday treat's popularity first arose in the early 1800s and was inspired by a well-known Grimm's fairy tale?
Mark, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say gingerbread.
I was going to say the same thing.
Because being a family from that area, I know that gingerbread is popular. And B, I think of the Grimm's fairy tale, if I'm not mistaken, Hansel and Gretel was a Grimm's fairy tale, right?
I almost asked a question about gingerbread houses today, and this is the problem with themed trivia, because we're all looking up the same shit, and I saw that gingerbread houses' popularity grew with Hansel and Gretel. They were already making them beforehand, but they got more popular after Hansel and Gretel was released in whatever the fuck time, so.
Yeah.
We're gonna say gingerbread.
That's correct. Ooh, nice. And there you go. I mean, that's some interesting insight from Mark too, Quizmasters. If you're looking for an easier question, that might be something that you might want to ask. If you're looking for something harder, maybe
I had the same trouble obscure. looking up questions. I would see something and I would go, oh no, that sounds like a Lee, or that sounds like a Mark, when you're drawing from the same pool of information. You know,
indeed.
All right, my turn, I guess, right? What Western fast food chain offers Japanese consumers a full-fledged Christmas dinner, a massively popular tradition culinarily there for the last 30-plus years?
Can I get it one more time?
Yes. Please? What Western fast food chain offers Japanese consumers a full-fledged Christmas dinner, a massively popular culinary tradition there for the last 30-plus years?
Well, we got to think of worldwide fast food places. 2 places came to mind for me right off.
Okay.
McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken.
I believe I'm familiar with this tradition. I believe the answer is KFC.
Because it's so close to turkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's pretty popular, I believe, in Japan.
Plus, if you're eating Christmas dinner, I mean, what are you going to want? Like, yeah. Are you going to want a burger and fries? Or
I just got the biggest hankering for fucking fried chicken.
Oof. Yeah, you're.
Oh, my God.
Let's go with KFC.
We're going to say KFC.
Satisfy that hankering.
You are correct.
Yes.
So apparently when they first.
Hey-o! You are correct, sir.
Seth.
When they introduced KFC, I think it was late 70s, early 80s in Japan. Only 1% of the population there was celebrating Christmas. And so when all that Western influence was coming in, they decided to like introduce some more Christmas stuff, and it's built in popularity. And now, like, if you don't order ahead of time, they they sell out of these magnificent Japanese KFC Christmas dinners. Yeah. Pretty awesome.
Mark.
Oh, it's me. Bullshit.
Is it? Or is it?
No, it's me.
Okay.
It me.
Question number four. What holiday drink's name originated from the Old Norse for be in good health? They should have made this my last question. Fuck. Fuck.
Be in good health.
Okay. There are only several holiday beverages, if you ask me.
Yep.
There's Coke, eggnog. Sprite.
Oh.
There's vodka lemonade. Straight.
Coca-Cola. You got the Santa straight. Claus and the polar bears.
It depends on how long you've been with your family.
Yeah.
There's vodka
slippery
straight.
Slippery nipple.
Eggnog.
There's eggnog. Mm-hmm. There's wassail.
Wassail? Is that like hot buttered rum?
That's
the one hot I know.
Buttered nuggets.
Isn't that like the spiced wine or something like that, I think? Wassail?
Sure.
Wassailing?
Oh, wassailing.
Yeah.
That's in a carol.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Go a wassailing? Does that along, mean go a drinking? I believe,
right? Is I think it wassailing so. Along?
Hmm. Hmm. Be in good health. Could not. Nog sounds like.
Nog does sound very like. Nordic. Gruntle. Yeah. You know, like.
Yog.
Glottal, like. Noggins.
Temple of Nog.
Temple of Nog.
You need to get in touch with somebody and make some. make a limited batch of Temple of Nog. Temple of Nog.
Or even just like a Christmas sweater with the characters on it. Well, it says Temple of Nog. Eggnog was the first one that came into my mind because, I mean, obviously egg describes an ingredient in it, but nog could be, a phrase that means.
I guess you can't trademark eggnog either.
No, probably.
It's got eggs and it's got nogs.
There are several companies that make it.
I'll agree. I think eggnog's the way to go.
Okay. Eggnog.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
No, no.
The correct answer.
We're missing. Apple cider
is wassail.
Wassail.
Yes, it's wassail or wassail, depending on how you pronounce
my
it.
Lord. Oh my.
Yes.
Oops.
I couldn't I'm believe sorry. You said it.
I know.
I was like, oh, and then I thought maybe you guys would go down like some kind of like mead era or whatever. But yes, wassail is the correct answer.
Oh man. Should have trusted my instincts.
Nog is too short. Of apple.
Nog is too short. All right.
What is wassail, Mark? Do you have a breakdown?
It's like a mold. Yeah, it's like a spiced mold wine with apples in it.
Ooh.
So it's like a mead.
A mold wine, not a mold wine.
So it's it's like hot it's like sangria
at first. Oh wait, he meant mold. Okay.
It's like a hot sangria.
Yeah, sort of.
Kind
of.
No, I want some.
No, I want sangria. Some.
Instead, we have a Grinch question to take down.
You're a mean one.
You want hot, delicious wine. What you get is the Grinch. A Grinch question.
The Grinch lives in a cave on top of which mountain that overlooks Whoville? Plot detail.
Plot detail. Damn it!
I need you for this.
A lot of people ask what's the name of the Grinch's dog, but few ask on what
Everybody
mountain.
Knows that. That's Bush League.
What is mountain
Max?
Does
Max
the Grinch live on?
You and I know that, and I've never seen the
Mount
Grinch.
Okay, I'm going to say it's something with an M because it's very susical to be like alliterative. Mount Makimbo, Matumbo, Mount Madahamama,
Mount Mainier,
Mount
Rainier,
Mukalaka, Mount. I don't know, Mark. I don't know. I let you down. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't know either.
We can suss this all day, unless I have like a stroke of genius. It's not coming to me.
Why does it think that it begins with an R? Maybe Mount Misery.
Actually, that sounded good. It might have just been the Thurl Ravenscroft-esque voice you put on there, but
all right, we'll say no. It's not that.
It's too obvious, but.
Mount Mountain.
They've made a ton of Grinch movies.
Dude, I know.
It's not they have like the How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. Mm-hmm.
It's Tony the Tiger right there. Singing. You guys remember who did the voice, though? He didn't do the voice.
Boris Karloff.
That's right. Boris Karloff. But he couldn't sing, so they had good old Thurl.
Tony the Tiger.
Mm-hmm. The Electric Sixes cover of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch?
Vaguely.
AV Club Undercover.
Yeah. Undercover.
Mm-hmm. Mount.
Mount Olympus. Over the Serengeti.
I meant to add a hint to the question.
Oh, wow. Oh, I was going to say, if I was given this Pibs, it would be piss.
Piss. Yeah, it's definitely missing the B.
Okay, it's it shares a name with a British type of bread.
British bread. Crumpet? Mount Crumpet? Scone? No, scone's like a cookie.
Type of bread.
Crumpet. It's a crumpet.
Mount Crumpet.
Oh.
Where he likes to play his trumpet.
Why, we're back on British again, aren't we?
Always.
I feel like Christmas is very British anyway. Always
going back to British,
mate. God bless us, everyone.
That's that Victorian influence.
Now, what day is it? Have I missed Christmas? Go fetch the largest
goose. What percentage of our listenership is in England cringing right now?
I think they're our fourth most listened country.
Like, I will say this, though. My grandmother, and you've talked to my grandmother.
Yes.
My grandmother was off the plane from Britain. And so I was around an actual British accent a lot of my life. So if I do like a halfway decent British accent.
Dude, Nana was cute.
Yes.
Nana was adorable.
Dead now, but she was when she was alive. Holy cow.
I remember the first time I met your grandma, I was like, dude, your grandma's British. Why didn't you tell me?
She had a breast reduction, too.
Whoa, that's way ahead of her time.
Yeah. Apparently had some big old swingers.
Jesus. But not buttons. For long.
Cut back.
Hello, back relief.
Yeah,
Mount Crumpet. You know what? All of a sudden, I'm like, I'm sure
we're gonna say Mount Crumpet.
Mount Crumpet is correct.
Yes,
that hit matters.
Oh, yeah. It really did.
You see that fucking difference?
You can see the line right there.
Oh yeah,
you can see the line. Mount
Crumpet.
All right, Jamie.
Indeed.
All right.
Our last question of round two.
Okay. James. In the popular holiday movie A Christmas Story. What is the name of the neighbor family who owns 785 smelly hound dogs, much to the chagrin of Ralphie's father? He hates them. You want it one more time?
I can't remember the name of this.
No built-in hint?
No, this is not there's no crumpet-style hint here.
In A Christmas Story, what is the name of the neighbor family who owns 785 smelly hound dogs, much to the chagrin of Ralphie's father? He talks about him every time he comes in the house. I'll give you some hit, maybe jog your memory from the movie. Every time he comes in the house, the dogs are attacking him.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that movie since I was like,
dude, I 10. Watch it in part and parcel every year because, you know, like TNT plays it for 24 hours.
By the way, Justin loves Spider-Man.
I'm not surprised.
Whew.
It's a banger.
But what's the name of this family?
I have no idea. The Stewarts. The Johnsons. The dog haters.
No, they're dog lovers.
The dog
lovers. They got so much.
Think back to the movie. They steal the turkey. They attack his dad every time he comes in the house.
Yeah, Lee.
The Osbournes? Norman the Patriarch?
The Green Goblin? Now it's all coming together.
Oh boy.
Different movie.
Come on, guys.
I don't know. The Andersons? I got nothing.
We'll see the Osbournes.
That's incorrect.
I know we disappointed you.
That's sad. The Bumpuses.
The Bumpuses?
Yes. Oh, God. Like, half the movie is like, don those Bumpuses. That's 785 smelly hounds.
I will give you this. That is a memorable name.
Oh, like Bumpuses.
That is a memorable name.
Oh, because he talks about that they're big, like, big old hillbilly rednecks next door, and they got 800 dogs, and like, he hates them. The dad rages every time.
Yeah. It's a bit harder, but I might prefer that as a plot details question, even than my Grinch one. Well, there are more Grinch movies, though. I'm not sure if they mention the mountain name in each of them. Sometimes I think about that when I'm writing a question, like how well known is this in the zeitgeist? How many avenues do you have in? Like if you've only seen the 2018 movie, The Grinch, are you going to be able to get that question as well as if you've seen the 1964 version or the 2000 version of the movie?
Well, what's interesting is like I found that so many people are obsessed with this movie.
They play it every year.
They play it every year for 24 hours. Mm-hmm. The house that was their house in the movie is a museum. And the neighbor's house, the Bumpus' house, you could rent to stay in.
Hey, get that Bumpus' rent.
Yeah, damn. Yo. Get that Airbnb Bumpus.
Dumpling, doubling up.
Second B.
Second B stands for Airbnb Bumpus's.
A bed and Bumpus.
Ooh, I love a bed and Bumpus.
All right, well, that's round two. Let's take a little bit of a break before we come right back and dive directly into our third round of trivia.
Yeah. On the first day of trivia, my true love gave to me.
Right, we're back, and no rate my questions this week. We'll double up next week, but if you'd like to send us one, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com is the email address, or you can call us at 1-929-356-6966.
Also, I got a bone to pick with you, buddy.
Oh, yeah?
I forgot to mention it last round when we were doing the...
Miscorrections.
Seth Brundle.
Oh.
A new... A new Discordman wrote, "Greetings from Vancouver. Love the podcast. Been listening during my work drives, road trips, and workouts for the last 6 months." Which you should totally put into a 5-star review.
Yes.
For Christmas for us. We would appreciate it.
Thank you.
"I might have a bit of a miscorrection on this week's Rate My Question. In Lee's rephrasing of the soccer ball question."
I think this was two episodes ago in 179.
Mm-hmm. "His new version acknowledges that there are two shapes, but fails to incorporate the part where the guesser needs to determine which shape is which color." And he spells that color with a U. "Therefore, while the question is shorter by a full quarter, it's also arguably missing half of what people liked about it. I don't know if Lee thought this was implied in the way he rephrased it, or just didn't think this aspect of the question was important enough to include, but in the way nobody on the pod mentioned it, even while debating the quality of the rephrase, it just felt like it was missed in the moment." It totally was.
Yeah.
And I think you probably left it out just because you forgot to incorporate it.
No, I did. What I forgot to do was mention...
You were being sneaky.
No, I wasn't being sneaky. I meant to comment on the fact that I didn't feel like that was like necessarily the juiciest part of the question. I might leave it out, and I'll admit I do like the parallel of the 32 panels and the 32 words quite a bit, but that is really just a personal satisfaction, an issue of personal satisfaction, and maybe you might want to include that element of the question in your quiz. I might not. I might leave it out, but if you do, it's there, and yes, that will bring your word count up a bit. So, Mark, maybe you're right. Maybe it is not, or it is perfectly as short and sweet as possible in its current form. But, you know, just my perspective as a quizmaster there. And, yes, thank you, Seth Brundlefly, for bringing that up. All right. Jamie.
I have suspected the word A to be in there somewhere.
A?
A, because he's Vancouver.
Okay. I thought you meant the letter A, which is also a word.
Well, the letter A would have been in there a lot, I think.
Fair enough.
That was a lot of talking about soccer balls.
Yeah, it's a multi-episode question here. Mo wrote a juicy one.
So much anger, too, built up on Mark's part.
Well, he just wants to stick me on this one. He's, you know, I get it.
Because we had a back and forth about Lee's question being shorter or not, so... Seth Brundle came to my aid.
Yeah, but I don't know why you need to be so angry. In the words of Elsa, let it go.
Nobody could do that on this show.
Oof. That's what keeps it going. I do tend
to hold a grudge. We're all about the details here, you know, and they do the semantics and the details in our quiz writing do matter. And
True story.
Yep.
It comes down to splitting hairs.
Chewing the fat.
Oof.
Indeed.
All right. Well, I guess it's me, huh?
Yes.
All right. So here's my question. What popular Christmas song released in 1952 was condemned and banned by the Archdiocese of Boston and the Catholic Church at large for promoting adultery?
It's got to be I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
Got to be.
Right?
But I do think that that might be a little too obvious.
Hmm.
So I don't want to, I mean, you know, right. Obviously it's woman kissing someone that ain't her husband.
Yeah.
It's probably her husband in the song.
It's daddy.
Doesn't sound like, yeah.
It's daddy.
Santa's daddy.
Yeah, call me daddy.
Santa is daddy.
Ooh, I'm baby and Santa is daddy.
Yeah.
That brings a whole new definition of coming down the chimney, eh?
This reminds me of the upcoming Lyrics to Go episode this Friday.
Oh, yeah, promo it.
Colby Calais's Santa or Christmas in the Sand, in which Santa washes up next to her and she talks about how it's been her childhood fantasy. And it's very horny.
Okay.
And it's going to, yeah, it's a fun one.
I've never heard that one.
Yikes. Yeah.
I look forward to the episode, though.
Yeah, I actually heard it at a friend's birthday party. And I was like, it was one of those, what are they saying? Ooh. And I was like, oh boy.
Yikes.
Right. Immediately send it to Seth. I don't know.
Let's see here. There's I'll Be Home for Christmas. That's like more of like a song about longing, though.
Walking in a Winter Wonderland. They talk about not being married.
We just talked about that.
Yeah.
And that, yeah, that was
maybe that's why it's fresh in the mind.
Right. That was originally written about a like romantic, you know, afternoon in the snow. But the later lyrics were updated to be more like kid friendly and just generally about Christmas time and stuff. So there's actually like two different versions of that, as there are usually with songs of that era. Yeah. Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. Mm. What year did you say?
52.
Mm. So that song I know from my research was written in 58, so it can't be Rocking Around the Christmas Tree. I'm not sure that the lyrics support it anyway.
Unless you rocking on the Christmas tree or under the Christmas tree, you know what I mean.
They know.
If the Christmas tree's a rocking, don't come a knocking.
Jingle Bell Rock. Yeah, it's got to be I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
Yeah, we're going to say that. We're going to say I Saw Mama Kissing Santa Claus.
You are correct.
Hey!
I saw Mama kissing Santa Claus. You're right, Mark. I did go back and forth about being too obvious a choice, but I had to do it for the backstory because I so badly wanted to share that the ban was overturned only because the 13-year-old boy who originally recorded the song met with the Archdiocese of Boston and explained what the song actually meant. And only then were they like, oh, okay.
Wow.
Come on.
Had to bring in the performer. I guess they were just so enamored with his star power that they were
not
like...
Not to diss all the Catholics, but apparently they didn't have much experience with kissing anything. So the little boy had to set him straight.
All right. My next question for you guys is about Christmas carols. Christmas Ooh. Carols. What 19th century Christmas carols Carol author... Probably a Christmas episode in there somewhere. What 19th century Christmas carols author was unknown? See what I did there? Author unknown.
Okay.
Good song. The author was unknown and often misattributed to Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven until 1995 when an 1820 manuscript was discovered written in author Joseph Moore's own handwriting. What 19th century Christmas carols author was unknown and often misattributed to Haydn, Mozart, and Beethoven until 1995 when an 1820 manuscript was discovered written in author Joseph Moore's own handwriting?
Well, knee-jerk, the first thing that popped into my mind is Joy to the World. You know, it's got that orchestral...
Yeah, I was thinking Hark the Herald Angels Sing. No, that's the wrong song.
It is?
Well, no, it started right, but it doesn't do the fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Oh, that's right. Well, that's weird.
Hark the Herald Angels Sing, glory to the newborn king. It's got a very similar thing. You know, I was singing the other day Little Bunny Foo Foo. Little bunny foo-foo, hopping through the forest, swiping up the field mice and bopping them on the head. I was like, that melody sounds so familiar. And then I realized that it's Alouette, Georgia,
Alouette.
And they're both about animals terrorizing other animals. One is about a rabbit bopping them on the head. Alouette means lark. And it is a bird telling this little lark that they are going to pull the feathers out of it one by one in all the different places.
What? Whoa. Yeah. Darkness.
Yep.
Dude.
Darkness.
And it's like a round. It's like, lark, sweet lark, I'm going to pull all of your feathers out, like on, you know, on your feet. And then it's like, I'm going to pull all your feathers out on your head and your feet. I'm going to pull all your feathers out.
It's like a 12 Nights of Christmas type thing.
On your wings, on your head and your feet. Yeah. Yikes. They just add one every time. So
that's scary.
I'm going to need an answer here.
Yeah. I think that Joy to the World is a good guess.
I mean, I don't know, but it just, that's why I knee jerk. I went with that.
We're going to say Joy to the World.
No, I'm sorry.
Not so joyful because we got it wrong.
Joy to the World. Author is known. 1719, I think, was the year that came in. Yes. Written by Isaac Watts. The answer I'm looking for is actually Silent Night.
Silent Night.
Holy night.
You guys know the one.
All is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin, mother and child. Ooh, I went south.
Fucked up too.
You guys
that
were,
was sounding pretty good there for
a minute. I know. Like,
we have never done that before. Kyle, do we get your thumbs up of approval?
Yeah, at least she didn't say motherfucker.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, did you have more information?
Oh, no, that's it. Yeah, but I mean, just thinking like 1995, that's fairly recent. Almost missed the mark on this podcast. That's getting crazy. Credit for it, you know?
Yeah.
Lucky find.
Here's your last question. Are you prepared?
Yes.
What president, the 18th that we've had, was the first person to make Christmas a federal holiday?
Okay. 16 was Lincoln, yep. Right?
I know that now.
Who replaced Lincoln? After his night, Johnson? Bad night of theater. No, that's who replaced Kennedy, bro.
Andrew Johnson.
Oh, okay.
Not LBJ.
Not LBJ.
No, Andrew Johnson.
LB right? and his Johnson.
Wasn't it Andrew Johnson?
No, wasn't he way before, like, no, that's Andrew Jackson.
Yes, not Andrew Jackson, God. Andrew Johnson.
All these white people.
Except for one.
Well, yeah.
And then, Barack Obama.
Yep.
That's my terrible Obama.
It's not going to be him. It's too early for that.
So then who was after Johnson, man? Hoover was the 20s, so I got to work back from there. Woodrow Wilson, where does he fit in?
I want to say later.
Okay, Taft. Because what? Okay, I'm thinking this is a stretch. The Gangs of New York. When are they talking about Taft and like Tammany Hall and all that?
Actually, I've never seen Gangs of New York. I know.
Oh my god, dude!
I know.
Oh my god!
I know.
Plus, Daniel Day-Lewis played Lincoln.
Oh,
and he was in that as Billy the Butcher.
Uh-huh. But that doesn't really help here.
No, not at all. No. But it's just sounded good.
Coolidge, Taft, Garfield.
I don't know why. Let's go with Taft. You want to go with Taft? McKinley?
William McKinley. I feel like he might have been earlier.
Oh, damn it. Right now, I'm just naming presidents.
This is another thing we're going to get a ton of miscorrections on or ordering here.
I'll tell you, don't even bother. We know that these are
wrong. Look, we fall down on the president questions all the time.
Which is
why I
love it.
I mean, we should. I don't want to say don't bother. We should be informed. Okay. But it is not your duty to inform us. But if you feel compelled, feel free to let us know.
At least a duty.
Taft. We can't just look him up.
Taft. Let's do it. Taft.
Sorry, that's incorrect. The 18th president of the United States was Ulysses S. Grant.
Oh, man. Unconditional surrender. God.
He was the one who tried to.
The motherfucker that went to Jerusalem.
He made it a federal holiday specifically to try and unite the North and the South.
Hey, Mark, you know who's buried in Grant's tomb?
Grant?
Yes.
I like that question to end our Christmas quiz here. We started with Queen Victoria bringing the traditions up in popularity, and then another one here in the States.
Another milestone.
So there we go. That's very good.
James.
Mark. Jamie.
God, Jamie. Love you.
I love you guys, too.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you. What a gift you have given to us, the community at large, with your podcast and with me, with your friendship.
Thank you, Jamie.
You're welcome.
Likewise, and always a pleasure to have you here on the No No.
Dude, what a pleasure. I love being here.
In fact, I might
just move in.
Right. Yeah.
Kylan, is that cool?
Couch guy.
Yep.
What?
I'll take that as a yes.
That's a cold yes.
Perhaps I'll just sleep in the manger if there's no room at the inn.
Heyo.
Oh. It's been done before.
Heyo.
Listeners, we want to, of course, thank you for listening every week and supporting us here on the No No. Thanks for listening, everyone. Please join us every Monday morning for a new episode by subscribing to the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can support the No No in several ways, the easiest by sharing this episode on your social media accounts with your friends. You could also leave us a written review on your favorite podcast platform, and you could support the podcast on Patreon by visiting our website, thenono.com, clicking the support link at the top, which will take you to our Patreon page.
Thank you to our Patreon supporters for helping us out with the show, including big thanks to our quiz daddies, Brandon Long, Issa, Adam Volkadesmi, and Red Crest Fried Chicken, Tim at Pass Garden Service, and of course, our main dude, Tommy. Our team captains, Matt, Mo, Rick G, Skyler, Kristen, Fletcher, Rachel, Jenny, Lydia, Sean, OG, Aaron, David Holbrook, and Gil.
Gil to the world!
Thanks to our proverbial lightkeepers, Justin, Grant, Rob, Captain Nick Williams, Kate, Rachel, Moo, Tim Gomez, aka Mappy1984, Lucas, Carly, Sarah, Cooper, Justin, Hank, Luke, Manu, Matthew, Spencer, Lisa, Ryan, Adam, John Lewis, Nabil, and Ricky F. And of course, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention our Rumble Snailskins, Ed, Dylan, Sarah, Fox and Five, Laurel, Aaron, H-Bomb, Lauren, MJ, Steven, Kenya, We Do Stuff, Allison, Paige, Kevin, Sarah, Douglas, Alex, Mike C.
Mike Christmas.
Mike J.
Mike Joy to the World.
Mike K.
And Mike Kringle.
Krampus.
Mike Krampus. If you'd like to write us with
Mike Krampus.
Mike Krampus.
Oh, God.
Mike Bumpses. If you'd like to write us with a rate my question or miscorrection, nononsensetrivia@gmail.com, the email address, or you can call us at 1-929-356-6966. Please follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at No Nonsense Trivia, and on Twitter at No Non Trivia.
We have a Facebook group you can join as well. Just go on Facebook and search for the No Nonsense Trivia Podcast to join us there. And finally, don't forget to leave us a rating on your favorite podcast service.
Five stars only, please.
Until next time, No Nonsense listeners.
Have a great week.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, everyone.